afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 78th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Hannah Mutiala, who is originally from Hyderabad, India. This is a city of 6.8 million people in the south of India on the Bay of Bengal side that has historically been known as the City of Pearls. It's now better known as Genome Valley, since it has become a hub for pharmaceutical and biotech research. Hannah moved to this country in 1994 and spent 6 years in Chicago before making Maine her home 14 years ago. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Hannah.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for inviting me. It's a great opportunity for me.
Wonderful. And a beautiful sunshiny day to do it, too.
It's beautiful today. Yes.
So let's go back to Hyderabad, India. And when you were a girl living there, it had less than 2 million people, now with 6.8. And I wonder, what are some of the things you remember from that time that might be different now?
It's very different now than 2 decades ago. When we think of migration, we think people of moving from one country to another country. But in the last 3 decades in India, the biggest migration took place within the country. From villages, people moved to the big cities for business sake, for education, and for employment opportunities.
And there they are working for Dell and Microsoft and many, many other biotech.
Yes.
And pharmaceuticals.
Especially in Hyderabad, that high-tech city is there. So all companies from different countries, they started using Hyderabad as a hub for all this employment for technical purposes, like especially computers.
And it's been a hub for buying, selling, and trading for all time.
Yes.
5,000 years ago. Yes. It has markets and bazaars that are still in operation from 5,000 years ago.
That's true.
Continually.
Yes.
That's really quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Did you used to go to the markets as a girl?
We used to. And there's a small stores and small businesses will be there most of the time. But now, the stores, everything is like how we see here in America. They are building big
more
malls,
the superstores.
Mm-hmm. Malls. And Enorbit Mall, there's a recent one in Hyderabad. I went last time and visited that. It's just like here at the biggest malls. So in some parts, India is developing a lot.
Yes. Well, with all those people with paychecks and middle-class lifestyles, there here come the malls.
Yes. They're enjoying real good life, but not everybody. Only few people, the middle-class people. But most of them, still they are poor.
Even the middle-class are poor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you have many, many people in India, and they live in a wide range of lifestyles. And when you go back to India, do you see people living in very different ways, living together in the city?
Yes, they became very modernized now because of Western influence. And the way they are working and learning and the education they are getting from different sources, it's totally very different now. I've seen a lot of changes.
What did education look like when you were a girl? Your schools, how long did girls go to school for then?
Yes, everybody used to go, especially because of these missionaries came to India and they built schools, hospitals, and churches. So because of their influence, most of the Indian people, they learned English. And some people, still in villages, they don't send kids to school. But now, in these recent years, most of them they're sending, even though they're working hard, still they send their children to schools for education.
So there are more students today.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear. You were raised Christian in a part of the world where 70% of the people are Hindus and 27% are Muslims and only 2.6% are Christians. And I wonder what that was like for you being in the minority growing up.
As a minority in India, Christians play an important role in India. And even till date, the contribution to higher education, social justice, is recognized all over India. And maybe you must have heard Mother Teresa.
Sure.
From Calcutta. She's the one who served people a lot. And the Christianity, especially the Britishers came to India. They taught us how to speak English. English will be a one subject in for everybody. They have to learn that subject. So most of them, they know A, B, C, D.
My understanding is that 100% of college graduates in India speak English.
Yes, it depends on which school they study in, especially in big cities. They give a lot of importance to English. So they try to speak in English, even though they are not fluent like me, but still they try to communicate.
Yes. I think we've all spoken to some at call centers.
Yes.
So do you still practice Christianity?
Yes, I do. From the birth of mine, I am Christian. And my grandfather was a Hindu. So when missionaries came to India, he was a teacher, and they taught him about the gospel and all. But my grandfather used to teach them Telugu language for them, because they came to India, they learned the language of the native language where they want to build schools, churches, to educate people. They sacrificed a lot for the country. And my grandfather used to teach them Telugu language for them. So slowly they preached the gospel to my grandfather. So he became a Christian. Out of 6 siblings, he's the only one he became Christian. And his family did not allow them. So he took his wife and 4 kids. My dad is one of them. So he came to Hyderabad. And they lived there. After some time, my grandfather died. So from my grandfather and my father's generation, we are all Christians. And my name is Hannah. It's my birth name.
And that's because it's a biblical name.
Biblical name from the Bible.
Yes.
Hannah. Yeah, she's a prayerful lady.
Was it hard for your family to be in a minority? Your grandfather had originally been rejected by... No, your father. No, your grandfather had been rejected by his father for practicing Christianity. But then is it more commonplace now, or are people more comfortable with different religions in that region now?
Not yet. Still in India, Christians are going through a lot of persecution right now, especially since from 10 years. I'm hearing a lot in these 2 years. So Christians are targeting more. Only 4% of the India is Christian still.
Yes.
So everybody's mingled there. Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Sikhs, Jains, all live together.
But maybe an escalating targeting of Christians these
days. Yes.
More than you were used to.
Yes.
So what brought you and your husband to Maine? Are there things you particularly like about living here after living in Chicago and
it's
India?
A very quiet place here. And my husband, he got a job in USM. So because of his work, we had to move from Chicago to Maine. And we love it. It's a very quiet place. And people are good.
And it's not quite as cold as Chicago.
Yes. Chicago is a windy city.
It was good you went to Chicago first so you can think that Maine is more mild.
Little bit, yes. But a lot of snow here.
Plenty. India's middle class has grown quite a bit during your lifetime, and I wonder if you had thoughts about how this has happened while the middle class here in the United States continues to decline.
Indian, especially Indians, they give a lot of preferences now for education, and they want a better life. They come to U.S., they work hard, they are working people. Most of them, they don't spend much. Whatever they earn, they try to save some money, and they have burden of taking care of family. So middle-class people are very working hard people, and they respect their elders, and they try to provide everything for them and their family.
So that's quite different, you know, just taking care of your nuclear family, you know, mom, dad, kids. But you're saying you also need to earn enough to take care of the elders as well.
Yes, it is their responsibility.
When we had spoken last week, you said that in India you get paid just one time per month.
Yes.
And that perhaps that contributes to being more planful and making a budget. And that the Indians, you know, are savers. They will save. How much of their paycheck will they save?
It depends on their budget. And so whatever they earn, they try to save at least minimum 10% aside. So, and they don't go for a very luxurious life.
So it's more of the basic needs.
Basic.
And then you have a little nest egg if you need to buy a house or take care of someone.
They want to be a comfortable life. At the same time, they don't spend on too much luxuries.
And is India becoming a credit card using nation too?
Right now, yes. People are going to ATMs and they're drawing all those working people from different companies, because a lot of them, they went to Hyderabad for computers. Offices are open in Hyderabad, so they are using, I've seen them using ATM cards and credit cards now.
I wonder if people can both enjoy the new technical ability to use credit cards and ATMs and kind of the old school savings accounts.
Yes.
That'll be a big question.
That is true.
It's so tempting.
It is.
You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Hannah Mutiala, and she's from Hyderabad, India. She ingeniously figured out a way to help disabled children and adults in her hometown all the way here in Portland, Maine. So, Hannah, can you tell us about your jewelry-making project and how that helps people in need half a world away?
This all began with my niece. She was suffering with Rett syndrome. So I used to send diapers from here because of the quality. When I thought of helping her, I've seen so many other people around our place. They need this help, like diapers. As I'm a CNA, I've learned here the hygiene and using diapers. But in India, most of them, they don't use diapers. So after giving diapers to my niece, then one day I decided, okay, they are not having hygiene education. I wanted to give some education on hygiene. And some people are really poor. They can't afford. And the disability people, they don't give much preference in India. And here, it's different. We give a lot of respect to them. and we treat them as one among us. But in India, they are homebound because lack of the facilities also. The roads are not very smooth.
Sure.
To use wheelchairs.
So you've used your ability as a CNA to educate people about health and hygiene, and also you bring diapers, because our diapers are highly engineered, I think, and you were finding that what they were using just wasn't effective at all for absorbing moisture.
That's true. The quality is not good in India, so I tried to help them.
And you organized, along with your family, an organization. Could you tell us about Friends of Disabled Children?
Yeah, after seeing disabled children in India, I've decided I wanted to help them too. As a Christian, I've learned to love the neighbor as yourself. It's all in the Bible. When you do something for the poor, God says that you have done to me. And there is one Bible verse in the Bible. Matthew chapter 25 verse 35. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and gave me water. I was a stranger and you invited me into your homes. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and in prison you visited me. So when we do help to the poor people and those who are in need. So I've learned as a Christian since from the birth to love the neighbor as yourself. And I wanted to really give them a good life.
You've really done that. You've found a way to love people you hardly know from around the world.
Yes, my heart is for the disabled children in India.
When I went to your home, you had pictures of the people you're helping and really introduced them to me as individuals. And I thought that was beautiful. It's not an abstract idea at all. These are people you know and want to make a difference in their lives. And you make a profound difference, not only for the disabled individuals, but the people that are taking care of them every day. Think how much a pack of diapers can help someone with hygiene and laundry. And just distress.
Yes. And in India, when they are disabled, they are homebound most of the time. And the society thinks the people are abnormal there. And they are not active in the society. If they are disabled, they'll be homebound. That's all. And the parents will take care of them.
Will the parents also be treated differently if they have a child who's disabled?
It depends on the individuals, how they think. But the parents really suffer a lot of work, taking care of 24 hours the child, and not a lot of facilities for them.
Yeah. So as a CNA, you do see a difference between how people with disabilities are treated here as opposed to how they're treated in Hyderabad. And that's really important. You're really seeing a difference in the importance of human life and the way poverty plays out there without a lot of assistance for the most in need.
Yes. So I have a talent. It's a lot. I do have a talent of doing some crafty things.
Yes.
So I went into jewelry recently, maybe 2 years back. And I wanted to help those people. I started doing jewelry. And one of my friends, they came home and they said they really liked it. And then I thought, oh, maybe this is the good thing. I can make jewelry and make some money and help these children. So I started thinking about like that and then started that.
That's wonderful. So you buy the beads and string the jewelry. And then you sell it, and that money you use to buy things like colostomy bags and diapers and this kind of medical
supplies. Support for the, few people, they need wheelchairs.
And so you're putting your crafty skills to good use, to really help people.
Yes.
Yeah. Where do you end up getting these supplies that you take with you to India?
I've been to Partners for World here. I used to volunteer sometimes there.
Partners for World Health?
World Health.
In South Portland?
In South Portland. So I used to volunteer there, and I've seen a lot of medical supplies. And then I thought, okay, maybe this is the good source for me to really help them. And India need a lot of...
A lot of supplies. And, yeah. If you don't know about Partners for World Health, add a .com and check it out. They are doing amazing things. They take what is considered medical waste here, and they organize it and send it to people in need all throughout the world. And if you're ever traveling somewhere and can take an extra suitcase, you wouldn't believe how much of a difference you can make with a suitcase of syringes and medical tape and sterile pads and things like that that some people just do without. So, that's through the Partners for World Health. And you had said that you buy the colostomy bags through them. How much do those cost?
Per pound, I pay $1, and that's the cheapest I could able to afford.
Oh, of course.
That's a great help for me.
How many colostomy bags are in a pound?
In a pound, maybe like 19 or 20.
Wow.
I sent through mail once. It came as 20 pieces in for 2 pounds.
That's great. Now, it's very expensive to mail packages internationally, like hundreds of dollars, right?
Yes.
So you tend to just carry them in your suitcase when you go to visit.
Yeah. Whenever I go to India, or if somebody's going from here, I'll send them a bag of diapers. It's like a suitcase. It takes 50 pounds per bag, and I pay $200 per bag,
which is a lot cheaper than sending that
same amount. Through FedEx, we have to pay $450 for 50 pounds.
$450 for 50 pounds of a box. That's expensive.
It is too expensive.
So that is the limiting factor.
Yes.
So you are making jewelry and selling it at house parties. What would we do if people were interested in seeing your jewelry?
Sometimes I make home parties. I invite people to home and show the jewelry for them. And I'll tell them the cause. So most of them, they are very helpful.
And I understand you're building a website as we speak. And we're going to finish it up when you're in India. In your next trip home. So when Hannah's website is ready, I will link it to the newmainerspeak.com's webpage, and you can go directly to seeing her jewelry and buying it there to support people, real people who need help in India.
Especially I want to thank my church. I was very much encouraged attending to White Pine Community Church in Cumberland. Conducts in Greenlee School, and we have a great pastor, Greg Cedars. And also I want to thank our women's friends there, Marietta, Susie Andrews, Nikki Howell, and Deirdre. They are very good supporters of me, and it's a very good church, Bible-based church. And if anybody wants to come and see, they are most welcome.
That's for the newcomers.
Nice.
It sounds like they have seen that you have something to give and encouraged you to go ahead and make and sell that jewelry. You could really do something with that. I've seen Hannah's jewelry. It's quite a range of jewels, bracelets, necklaces, rings, all kinds of things. And then you've brought some jewelry back from India to add to that collection. So it's a beautiful collection of jewelry. And if you're ever in a situation at a craft fair or something where you run into Hannah, you'll know that whatever you purchase, the money goes to help people.
100% of the proceeds.
100% of the proceeds.
100%.
You can't get better than that. Hannah, you are so committed to helping people in need, and you do it with such creativity and generosity. I can see that you're not just giving diapers, but you're also giving respect, love, and caring to other people. You're a lovely woman, and thank you so much for coming on New Mainers Speak today.
Thank you very much, Kate.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Hannah Mutiala. We will close today's program with a very special song that Hannah has chosen for us. Can you tell listeners about this artist and the song that we're going to play?
This song was sung by my older sister. Her name is Swarnalatha Jason, and she is a gospel singer in India.
And what's the name of the song?
Ettaina Kunda Paina.
What does that mean?
That means the hill. Ettaina Kunda means it's a hill, the top of the hill. So where the God came and talked to Moses.
And the mountain. Yes.
Yeah.